Praiseworthy is the person who holds on to Shabbat, Shomer Shabbat, who follows Shabbat, says the Prophet, Mechalelo, from being transgressed, from being Mechalel. And the commentators say, Mechalelo means from profaning it. V'shamiyadom asot kol ra, and watches his hand from doing all that is bad. The Mechilta learns out from this piece, Rabbi Omer, kol ha-meshomer Shabbat, achat, a person who follows and keeps Shabbat properly, ma'alav ha-katuf, the posuk we just says, considers that person, ki'ilu shomer Shabbatot, miyom shabar ha-kodesh barat olamo. It's as though they kept Shabbat from the beginning of creation, ad yichudo meitim, until Hashem resurrects the dead. We consider a person to keep Shabbat correctly. It's as though they've kept all Shabbats. And then it says, V'shamu b'nei Yisrael Shabbat. The Jewish people should keep Shabbat. Be'inu ben b'nei Yisrael otid olam. It says in the parasha, in the Torah, it is a sign. So there's a few things over here. First of all, we're discussing the strictness of Shabbat, all the details, and the very, very strong punishments that comes for a person who's Mechalel Shabbat. So much of the Prophet says that... We're not Chofetz Chaim yet. Chofetz Chaim's coming up. We just look at the Prophet. We look at the Mechilta. And the Mechilta is telling us how powerful and how important it is to keep Shabbat, even one Shabbat a person keeps. It's as though they have always kept it. Let us do the Chofetz Chaim at the bottom. This is chapter 1 of Shem Malam. Shabbat, the extremeness that we put into a person who is Mechalel Shabbat, the Chofetz Chaim says, Ra'a et chomer havon shiyesh b'chil Shabbat. We don't know the reward for mitzvot, but we are informed of the punishment for averot, and we know that the punishment for a person who's Mechalel Shabbat is extremely strong. Okay, which is what the Prophet at the beginning said. We know the different categories of punishment for various sins. A person doesn't do an asay, right? He has a chance to do a mitzvah, doesn't do it. That is considered the lowest thing because they've missed out. I mean, the thing they've lost is their own possibility of doing a mitzvah. So that's considered the lowest of era, missing out on doing an aseh, of doing a mitzvah. So they didn't have an avera, they just missed out on doing an aseh. Then we have certain averot where a person is transgressing, gets a lav. Then you get some which are really bad, where a person gets excision, spiritually cut off. That's different interpretations of what that means. Karet, right? For example, eating Yom Kippur, eating chametz on Pesach. But we know that that is considered to be one of the worst things a person can do, and for that a person gets karet. Okay, different interpretations. Some say karet means they're spiritually cut off from their shurash neshama. Some say chas v'chalila they can lose children for it, or have difficulty having children. Chamo mezavanot sheyesh aleim isur lav. Chamo mezavanot sheyesh aleim karet. Chamo mezavanot sheyesh aleim chiyuv mita b'dei adam. A person can be put to death by a court of law through chenek, through strangulation, chamu mezavanot sheyesh aleim chiyuv mitat hereg v'sayef, through sword, chamu mezeh otan sheyesh aleim mitat sreifa, through burning, and the chamu mekulam, the most strictest punishment we have in Judaism, avanot sheyesh aleim chiyuv skila, through stoning. That's considered to be the worst of the worst, which is reserved to the worst of the averot. V'yal Shabbat, haliyodur shem chalota chayav skila. When Shabbat falls into the category of hachamura shemitah, the worst of the worst. Very unusual. Out of all the mitzvah, all the sins out there, a person kills someone chas v'chalila, who burns a Torah, but this one thing of Shabbat is the worst, has the most strictest punishment of them all, of the arba mitot beit din, the four ways that a bet din kill a person, more than karet. Karet sounds bad, but it is teshuvahable. I don't know if that's a word, but it is now. Right? You can do teshuvah between a person and Hashem. Okay? And obviously a person doesn't do a positive mitzvah, they do teshuvah for it. So the Rambam, that's the easiest thing to do teshuvah for. You missed out on a mitzvah aseh, you didn't say kriyat shema, you know? So that's, but here, we've now reached the most strictest of the strict. What is going on with this? So let's look at page 63. Let's look at a beautiful and very powerful and hopefully inspiring interpretation that will put this into a little bit of context. Yes?
So are you saying that the only one you can't do tshuva is for stoning?
Any of the mitot beit din, you could do tshuva, but a person has to die for them. A person has to die for them. The death itself, actually, is part of the kapara. But karet is not to do with beit din, that's between a person and a kodesh baruch hu. And that is teshuvah bull totally. Person not put to death for those things. Person eats on Yom Kippur, they're not put to death by the Beit Din. That's between a person and Hashem, they get karet, right? But those things are fixed upable, so they're considered lower, because the Beit Din cannot enact. Okay. So the Chofetz Chaim is going to react to this with a very interesting lesson when it comes to the idea of a sign, an oat. Top page 63, let's do this together. HaTorah korev l'shabbat os, or an oat. The Torah calls Shabbat an os. An os or an oat. What is an os or an oat?
A sign.
Someone tell me other mitzvot that are referred to as signs in the Torah. Anything. Who have the name. Shabbat. This word is connected to... That was good, Alana. That was good. Shabbat is well. You know what?
Putting blood on your thing.
True, that did happen. But that's not one of the particular mitzvot. That is also a sign that is true, but it's not a mitzvah per se. So an actual mitzvah that we do, you're true. Words we use. But what is a mitzvah that we do? Bella and Farah. Very, very good. To fill in. Very good. And a Brit Milah. Right. These are the few things that are called a sign. Let me ask you a question. Let's look up for a second. We're going to think now a little bit. I know it's a little bit tricky to do that. You know, they say university lectures are like basically the notes of the professor going to the notes of the student without going through the brains of either.
So true. It's sad.
I heard that from a professor at university 20 years ago. So we're gonna stop writing that, and we're gonna talk and think of it.
But it was a comedy. It was a comic.
It's pretty funny. Give me, please. What is a sign, Talia? What is a sign? If I said to you, what's a sign? Give me an example of a sign. Okay.
Physical sign that you see on
the street. Let's do one of that. Physical sign on the street. Let's go with the easy one rather than signs from God.
Relays information.
Okay. What else do signs do for us? Yes.
Reminder.
They remind us. For example, what do they do? Remind us. Well, let's talk about signs on the street. Let's make it nice and easy, first of all. Okay, for example, remind us to stop, right? What else can a sign do?
Connection.
To warn you, right? Something is coming, okay. Right? Like those signs. You know, with the signs of the mountain with the falling rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is the point of that, by the way? Because I mean, what am I going to do exactly? So rocks are falling off this mountain. Should I stop? Should I go faster? Should I reverse? Should I just drive off the cliff? I never exactly know what to do. What is the purpose? I don't even know the purpose of that sign at all. There are rocks falling down. Okay, so what, I'm going to die? Give me a little bit. So it's warning you of something. Stops warn you of something. What else can they do?
Simon says, like, slow men working can be slow. Men working are slow men.
Working. In the city, it's slow men.
No, I know.
Who are working, believe me. Okay, what else can signs do? Yeah. Informs us, such as... Slow down, right? Or exit. Exit signs, right? All over. Exit signs, right? Your exit is coming. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
It's a connection.
Connection of what?
Get, like, let's say when you get a ring or something, it shows it's a sign between you and your husband.
Farah. I knew that the ring example would come from you, Farah. Very, very good. So that's a sign. What is that sign? That's good. It's good. That's good. Good. What is that sign of? A sign of connection. I'm going to put it on the board.
It's a sign of that you're separate only from your husband. It's a sign of connection.
So the ring you put on your finger is also a physical reality. That is a sign of connection. Very good. The Chofetz Chaim is going to give that exact example.
You see?
Excellent. Very good.
I love the
Chofetz Chaim. Well done. Just the fact it came from you is just amusing. Okay, very, very good.
The Chofetz Chaim gives the example about Shabbat being the bride and the groom.
He's going to go into that. He does love that. Absolutely. We're going to discuss that as well. Ilana.
They can identify something.
Identify something. What does that mean? How do I identify? You see a sign for a restaurant. You're identifying something. Okay. So store signs. Okay, so signs can do a lot for us. They inform, they identify things, they give us reminders of certain things, they relay information, they connect us. Okay, anything else? I mean, that's pretty good, actually. Anything else? What else can signs do? Probably it, actually.
Protect us.
Such as?
Protect us, such as...
The chamsa. You know, it's amazing. I'm seeing it's like everyone's wearing chamsas now, right? When I was a kid, I was only like, you had to be like 80, right, in order to wear a chamsa when I was a young person. Now, like, even like non news, I'm like, and now they have like big ones, like small, and they get big, and they're bigger. Now, like, someone's like a hand's coming, like, grab your heart out. It's like a massive hand on your, yeah, okay.
So protect us, for example, with the sign with the rocks. The rocks are falling down. Be careful.
Okay. That's good. That's the warning of it. That's remind us that something is going to happen. Okay, very good. Anyone else?
What do you think? Is there something else?
I don't know. I'm asking you. If I knew, I wouldn't have to ask you.
What should I think? Or should I let it go?
You can think. I don't want to upset you.
I don't want to waste my brain.
I know. There's only so much. Only so much you have, and I get it. Ilana Markov. Availability. I like that. Availability. Nice. See that? Had you thought, you could have got that one, but she had the schut of it. Availability. Okay. Availability. Interesting. I like that. Yeah.
Like amusement. Like a lot of signs are funny.
Okay. I have no idea how to write that down, but...
amusement, joy...
Okay, well, that's informing us, is the advent. You're saying joy.
That's exactly.
She means like pleasure. She means like pleasure.
What
sign's
gonna be pleasure?
Okay, I'm gonna put the word pleasure. I'm gonna put that. Okay. I'll give you that. Okay, I get you. I'm just trying to tie it in a little bit later in my own head right now. So I'm trying to wind forward. I'm too forward yet, obviously. Yes, it possibly is. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim, that's very, very good. The Chofetz Chaim, so basically all these things we wrote down, and probably more, are going to relate to these three things, and we're going to focus obviously on Shabbat. Let's have a look at the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim says there's no coincidence that this word oat or os is used to describe Shabbat, as it says on the top of the page from the Torah, and Shemot, Beini uvein b'nei Yisrael, between me and the Jewish people, Ot Heliolam, it is an eternal sign. Ki, because, Sheshad yamim asa Hashemet Hashemet v'daretz, for 6 days Hashem created the heavens and the earth, uvimashvi Shavat v'yinafash, seventh day, God rested. And he gives a beautiful, Bior Nifla, of the Chofetz Chaim, on this idea of why this particular mitzvah is called an Ot, an Os. And it goes like this. He goes, I want you to imagine that you have a store. You have a business. He puts a shelet. A shelet is a sign. A signboard. Right? A signboard. Okay? Which has got on it the information about the product inside. So, for example, you may have, I think every town has an Ellie's Bagels. right? There's always a bagel place, and there's always some Israeli dude who is the proprietor of such a store, and it's usually always an Eli. So we have Eli's Bagels. Now, I look at that sign, and what do I know? I know two things. One, they sell bagels. I don't go in there to buy my hardware. I don't go in there to buy my computer bits, software. Right? I will go there to buy bagels. What else do I know? That Ellie owns that store. Okay? Now, if I turn up at that store one day, and I see that the lights are off, the chairs are up on the table, and the doors are locked. Alana, what do I know about that store? It's closed. It's closed. I want my bagel. Ellie's Bagels is closed. I turn up a week later, and the same sight greets me. Lights are off. Chairs are on the table. And the doors are locked. But this time, the shelet, the sign outside, is down. Now what do I know? Out of business. They're out of business. The sign reveals to us, which is an addition to this list, you're in business. Because if the sign's taken down, you're out of business. With that in mind, let's read the rest of this amazing Chofetz Chaim. V'hinei, kol zman she'od nitzav al ha'bayit mebechutz, or that a time that the sign is outside of the house, or the business, Moralan is going to teach us, shabal melacha zeh hudar, he's still there, adayim b'dirazo, he's still living there, his business is still there. Af im lefamim, even though sometimes, noseh l'derech al ezi yamim, he's gone away for a few days. Mikol makom, adayin lo akar dirato, however, he's not left the business. Ma'abayit hazeh mikol v'kol. Totally. He's not totally gone. Even though it's closed, the sign is still telling us he's there. Masha'ein kein, however, kashin nitala od mibachutz, if that sign, says the Chofetz Chaim, is taken down, l'kol b'makom acher, and it's moved, muchach, it is demonstrating, shabal malacha zer kvar akar dirato, is gone, moved, mikol makom ha'bayit, totally azer ve'eno tzu b'klal, and cannot be found in that place of living or business, says the Chofetz Chaim, kein hu mamash bein in Shabbat, Shabbat is exactly the same, ki hu ot, it is the sign. The Jewish people are a business, a Jewish family business. And we have a sign above our store, and the sign does not say kosher. The sign does not say kibbud aveim. The sign does not say shemitah. There's many things it could have said, but it doesn't. It says Shabbat. That is the sign. Which means, says the Chofetz Chaim, beautiful idea, that if that sign were to be taken down, we are out of business. We are out of business. It's our store sign. Literally our store sign. This helps us also answer why Shabbat is so strict. We're going to see why. And why a person is defined by their connection to Judaism if they're Shomer Shabbat. Why is that the defining mitzvah? And here we're going to see an inkling of that answer because it's our product. It defines us in every shape or form. It's telling us. Now, a lot can happen in the store, which is unrelated to the sign, but the sign's got to be up. Says the Chofetz Chaim, Kerum Mashbin in Shabbat, Ki Otameit Shashem Yisbarach Barat Olam. This sign is testifying that Hashem created the world in 6 days, V'nach B'yom HaShvi and rested on the seventh, V'hugam kein ot, that it's also going to be a sign, al ish Yisrael, about the Jew, the person in the business. Hanoset ha-neis, who puts up this, the word neis means a miracle, but it also means a sign, okay? Hatifer tazeh al-atzmo, who puts on this definition on themselves, I am a Shema Shabbat. That means there is a sign outside us as a people, in a universal national level, but there's also a personal sign that we put on our own personal being. Meaning, Hashem Shabbat Umakaimo, that means a person who keeps Shabbat and follows it. And what are you saying by keeping Shabbat? Just by keeping Shabbat, Shumamin Bakorish Badi, believe in Hashem. Shubor Elohim b'chol tzo, that he created the world and keeps it going. Umeila, who Adon al kol, and therefore is the creator and controller of everything. Va'nachnu, and therefore, we, mucheyavim la'asod rasono b'chol nafshenu ma'adeinu, ki ha'kol shelo, because everything belongs to God. This ain't my store. This ain't my shop. God created the world. This is his shop. It's his store. I'm merely a resident. How do I testify to such important emunah concepts? By keeping Shabbat. V'al yedei emunah b'Hashem be'emet, and by doing this, you're really pulling onto your heart, he says, the holiness of God. As it says, ki ot hi beinu b'nechem. This is a sign. This is the sign between us. L'dorateichem, for your generations. L'dat kunoki ani Hashem mekadshechem. I am the Lord your God who makes you holy. It's connected. You being holy is connected to you keeping Shabbat, because that is the ultimate sign. V'al zeh gam kein remes katov, and that's why it is hinted, he says, in the pasuk says Chavos Chaim, v'asu li mikdash, make for me a mikdash, v'shachanti b'tocham, and I will reside within. Ah, so that's tricky. You see, this is actually a reference to the Mishkan. And the Torah tells us to make a Mishkan. Why? So that Hashem can reside within Abatocham. You can read it as within it, because that's where Hashem resided. You want to go visit Hashem, you would go to the Mishkan. That's where Hashem's presence was felt, and eventually the Beit HaMikdash. So you would go there. But you can also read that those words, Chazal tell us very famously, B'tocham means within them. By building a Mishkan, we're going to jump shops in a second. By building a Mishkan, I get to reside within you. So, it goes like this. Check this out. Hashem creates a world that we reside in, and we create the Mishkan that Hashem can reside in. Hashem uses all the malachot to create the world, because that's what creation is. And then we use all the 39 malachot to create his world that he resides in. Can you see that?
Can you repeat that?
I will repeat that. The pasuk says, "V'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'tocham." Make me a migdash and I'll reside within it. We say b'tocham can also mean within them, meaning the Jewish people.
Among them, you mean?
Within them.
It says among them.
That's my weak translation. Among them, but within them. Within their presence. Within their presence. Okay, among them is correct, actually. Among them presence. So it goes like this. Hashem creates the world in 6 days, and that's the world we get to live in. Okay? So Hashem says, fine, you did that. Now you create for me a world that I can live in. And what is that? That was the Mishkan. So we use all the various malachot, all our creative energies and powers, to create that Mishkan, and Hashem resides in it. So Hashem makes a world for us, and we make a world for Hashem. Okay? Mida keneged mida. By doing so, we are residing within, Hashem resides among us, betocham, resides among us. We do not have a Mishkan anymore, and all the laws of Shabbat are learnt out from the Mishkan. Mm-hmm. By keeping Shabbat, we are, in essence, bringing a place where Hashem can reside among us.
We're keeping 39 halachot, like making a Mishkan.
Right, that's us, right. Right.
Oh, B'tocham. That's why we're saying that refraining from halachot.
Right. B'tocham mamish. Among them, mamish. So he's saying that's what it means. When he says B'tocham, it means mamish among them. Not just like in some place. This is how we get Hashem to reside among us. Kamash Purish Mufarshim is all the Chazal. It's a famous idea, he says, which is mentioned by many of the Chazals. The Alkain, therefore, af im irashaval eza min a mitzvah. Let's say a person does not fulfill one of the mitzvot. Not a good thing, obviously. It's a sad thing, right? It's problematic. A person doesn't do one or some of the mitzvot. Okay. Let's say some of the mitzvot don't even exist nowadays, of which most of them don't. Most of the 613 mitzvot, we're still not able to do. Right, most of the mitzvot, 53% of the mitzvot, can only be performed in the land of Israel. Right, so, and most of them are to do with the Korbanot and the Beit HaMikdash. They don't exist, but we are still a people. We still exist as a nation. Our store is still going. Even so, the sign still stays. In other words, the doors are locked, and the chairs on the table, but the store is still there. Okay? He says, Im, because the otah ze nitzav le'ed ala ish. Right? Hazeki adain hu dar b'dira Torah shona. Even though he's not doing certain mitzvot, he still exists in the store. Rotsa lomar, she'ish Yisrael hu k'mekodem. He's still the same Jew. Shekedushas Hashem p'toch levavah. And the holiness of Hashem is still within him. Turn over the page. He's going to finish us off. Here's his punchline. Lo ken im chas v'shalom machalat Shabbat. That is different to Shabbos. Shabbos is completely different from every other mitzvah. Because if a person is machalal Shabbat, b'zehu mesalek ha'ot mi'al atzmo, you remove the sign. The sign is gone. You've taken it away from your own personal self. Umare, and that by doing so, you are demonstrating shebepnimiot levavo, that inside your heart, kva enodar ish Yisrael. Right? That Jew inside you is be removed. Hamamim b'sham Hashem b'rivrach, that believes in God. So that is the ultimate sign. Ukva hosa, makadash Hashem b'toch levavo, and Hashem's wholeness and now has now been removed from his heart, says the Chofetz Chaim. I'm just reading what the Chofetz Chaim says. Don't argue with me. The Alkein Amru Chazal, Kol Meshchal Al Etah Shabbat Ki Iluk Far B'Chol Torah Kula. Person is B'chal Shabbat. Says other breaking all the Torah. What would that be? Person, I don't know, doesn't do Shemitah. It's not as though they didn't keep all the Torah. They didn't do one mitzvah, right? Certain personal particular mitzvah. A person doesn't listen to the Megillah or you know, like at its own. Well, there's a Drabanan, but that's its own personal mitzvah, which is not related to anything else. But Shabbat has major influence on who the person is, says the Chofetz Chaim. And here we have Farah Zibak's idea, which the Chofetz Chaim is about to extrapolate. Et Shabbat b'sin Chazal. We know that Chazal refers to Shabbat as Matana Tova. Remember that. Shakarish Baruch Hu Nifle Yisrael Laoks Hashem gave it to us as a sign. Pamim Cholef Roges Bein Chatan V'Kala. He says sometimes you have a husband and a wife, Chatan and Kala. And they get into arguments, they get angry with each other. Are they still married? Yeah. You argue, you have problems, you have challenges. It happens, but you're still together. Afal piken. Kol od lochazira kal chatan et matonatav. But all the time she doesn't return the gifts, the engagement gifts, the wedding gifts, the ring that she received. You do a shidduch, tarn batel. You know that the shidduch is not over. But if she returns the gifts, it's done. Kach hu gam batanatova shabbat shema. So too, the Shabbat is like a gift from the chatan, Hashem, to the kala, that is us. Ki oda kala kenes Yisrael, the kala of the Jewish people. Machazika b'matanazu. When you hold on to this gift, o tu al va'aristacha leolam. That we are betrothed forever. Shabrit Bein Yisrael. That the Brit between the Jewish people, the Kucha Brichu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lohufra, has not been nullified, has not been broken. It is the ring on the finger. You can argue, you get into arguments, you can say certain things, you can remove certain mitzvot even. But along the ring is on. That's the sign that you are connected. Once the ring goes, it's all over. Yes, Charlie?
One question. Okay. Is he saying that if you're, obviously, like, the ring, whatever, if you keep it on, no matter what happens, like, you're still technically, you're still married.
Yeah.
But, is he saying that it's the same thing with Shabbat, that if you, like, return the gift of Shabbat by not doing...
By not being Shabbat, yeah.
Your relationship with God
is to some degree, yeah, that's what he seems to be saying, that there's a cutoff. There is a disconnect from that one mitzvah which will not exist in other mitzvah. Other mitzvot, people lose and don't do, and even as a nation, we're stuck without them, but even as an individual. But Shabbat, he says, that's the ring. That's like, that is the betrothal ring between every individual and Hashem and their Jewish connection. I don't know how best to describe it, yeah. Yeah.
But aren't you saying, like,
You're saying if you take off the ring, then that's it, and you're not connected to Hashem.
But like, sometimes, you know, you just take your ring off because you're cooking or whatever. Sometimes you take your ring off because, okay.
The ring removal is not referred to as a temporary convenience. But
He means a person gives up on Shabbat. The metaphor goes only so far. A person has removed Shabbat, is machal Shabbat, and
Removing the idea of Shabbat from the mind. It's basically what he's saying. No, it doesn't talk about belief.
Just following Shabbat. He didn't say you don't believe in God. He's saying, actually, he did say that. He did say there's a problem with the belief system, but then again, a person can keep Shabbat and still not totally believe. And we said that's going to lead you to belief. So that could be a remedy. We spoke about that as well. Having said that, by removing Shabbat, a person who keeps Shabbat and removes it from them, even once, they're saying something. They're saying something. One second. But a person gives the ring back, does that mean they're completely disconnected? And the answer is, the ring is always available. Just jump back in again. The relationship is, you know, it's always open.
It's not always the same.
It's always open. It can get better. It can get better. It can get better. It's the most teshuvable thing, Shabbat. You jump straight back in again, you're back to where you were. It's not a cut-off forever.
It doesn't make sense because you die.
Yeah. Oh, a person is mechalal Shabbat. Oh, that's through Beit Din, right. That's just to show you how strict Shabbat is. The person is mechalal Shabbat, but Farhesia in public with two witnesses and goes against it, that's how it used to be. That's true. That's true. But for us, in that where we don't have that, Shabbat, in addition, comes as a testimony to our connection to being Jewish. Yeah?
But I mean, like, you're still always going to have feelings for that person, even if you're, like, divorced or whatever.
True.
Or, like, take off the ring. You're always going to have...
True.
In your
but
heart.
Those
like,
feelings...
If you don't keep Shabbat,
that is very true.
Have, like, such strong
feelings. I hear. But if you want to show those feelings are real, you got to do it. You can have feelings about a lot of things in life that you're not really connected to anymore. Not every relationship is a good relationship. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think you can really say that there's a direct correlation between, like, believing in God and keeping Shabbat. Because, okay, yes, maybe if you, the keeping Shabbat aspect of, like, doing certain things, like, I don't know, that, like, going... praying on Shabbat or something like that, but like not like I don't think that if you write or something on Shabbat it means that you don't believe in God. Like it's just the reason. Like I personally like have issues keeping it because like I just it's just my own inabilities and my own problems with understanding why certain things are certain things. But it has nothing to do.
I don't think the Chofetz Chaim is not referring to a person like yourself. Right, meaning a person who may have not grown up keeping Shabbat,
right, yeah.
And then tries to take it on. That is a different topic completely, which you've touched upon and will touch upon again. This is talking about a person who knows what Shabbat's about, understands it's important, right? Grew up with it, appreciates it.
Do you have to completely understand it in order?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You do not need to completely understand any mitzvah in order to do it. You don't need to understand every mitzvah to become a convert to Judaism either. Right? You get what's the idea, and then you grow with it. It takes time. I mean, I've been keeping Shabbat for many, many years, and I'm always learning new aspects to it, new beauties within it, the importance of it. You know, when you have a family, your relationship to Shabbat changes completely. It's a whole different dynamic. Whole different dynamic. So look at it on a national level. As a people, this is that ultimate sign. And by the way, that's why there always has to be a section of the Jewish people that keep Shabbat. It cannot be removed because if it were to go, there'll be no more Jewish people. And we were given a promise that was given to our ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rachel, and Leah, that the Jewish people would always be there. So by definition, there will always be Shabbat among our people. There'll always be a section of our people. Right now, unfortunately, it's a tiny minority, right? 1 in 10 that actually keep Shabbat to some degree. But it's always going to be there. It has to be there. And so too, by the way, the other two examples. Tefillin are also a sign. They'll always have to be tefillin among our people. And Brit Milah. And although there are these backlashes against these things and returns to them, it always has to be there. By the Brit Milah is the most fascinating one, I think. Because Brit Milah, I would have thought of all the mitzvot that would have gone, right? The taking a baby against his will at 8 days old and circumcised. I don't know, that's the first one we would have dropped, you know? But Shavuot, that's gone from our people for the most part, sadly. Most secular Jews don't do that. But even the most secular Jew, right? Still, I mean, it happens to be, if you just think about it, fast is like, yeah, of course, I'm Jewish, I'm Brit Milah. Of all the things.
It's the first mitzvah in the Torah. I'm
saying these Jews don't even know what the Torah is. They're still willing to do that. They don't even realize that. You know more than them. No. Yet most Jews are willing to still do it.
Abraham Avinu.
It's like a once lifetime thing. And it's like very
advanced. I hear. I hear a thought, yeah, but...
still could have been completely. So much for it. That's the thing. Yeah.
Wait till you give your son and your meat.
My sister just gave up her son yesterday.
It's a big thing. It's a big thing. Mazal tov.
I have a question. My
sister. Yes.
What if you? Because a lot of people, they still have bar milah, but they have like a circumcision in the hospital. Does that count as bar milah later on?
Okay, so that we're getting into the technical thing. To do a Brit Milah, you need to have a mohel who knows what he's doing and does it with a kavanah, because there's two parts of Brit Milah. One is removing the foreskin and priya, and also to have that they're doing it l'shem. If a doctor, right, a non-Jewish doctor does Brit Milah, you have removed, but you're still missing something, and they'll need, which is quite common now, a little bit of blood removed l'shem mitzvah later on in life. But I don't go into that's a technical thing when it comes to Brit Milah.
I'm just saying, like, if someone today, someone I know recently find out that they're Jewish, but there is a small
painless procedure you have to go through, and with a mohel doesn't. Mohels do it all the time. If you want, I'll give you the name of a mohel. I have a few bones, a very good friend of mine, and he will take care of that. Okay, that's good. Page 65, and just to show how strong the idea of, because remember the topic we're discussing is the chashivut of Shabbat as well. Why is it so strict? Why do we put so much effort into it? So here's an example of how strict we actually make it. Okay. So Rabbi Moshe Schwab in Marchei Lev, he says the following. He says, how careful are we when it comes to not even getting close to possibly breaking Shabbat? Oh, we put so many gedarim, so many boundaries around the possibility of a person breaking Shabbat. And he gives an example. Sheyesh lezehem ma'aseh aveira. Okay. And he gives an example. We know there is a mitzvah to sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Let's say Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat, which happens many, many times. Happened last year. It's going to happen this year again. Right, it's happened. Yeah, it happened this past Rosh Hashanah. Next Rosh Hashanah, we're gonna have the same thing, I think. Right?
No,
it's 3-day chag. It's after. It's
but
after.
Are you asking which happened?
It happens that Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbat.
Happens, like Shabbat or Rosh Hashanah.
We're saying if they correspond. So what happens? What do we do? Do we sound the shofar on Shabbat?
No.
No, we sound but we still get to hear the shofar because it's 2 days, right? So if it falls the first day, second day, whatever, you get to hear the shofar. The question is, why don't we sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbat? Anyone know? Yeah? That may be true, but that's not the reason. That's not the reason. What's the reason we don't sound the shofar on Shabbat?
Because blowing the shofar is part of the 39
minutes. No, it's not.
It's not?
Nope, not
making
at all.
Sound. You're not
nope.
It's one of the being.
I'm telling you, it's not a problem. Yeah. Nope. No, fasting is one. Yom Kippur falls on Shabbat, you can. But no, it's not fasting. You're sounding the shofar. I want to sound the shofar. Why do we not sound the shofar on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah?
Because on Shabbat, you're not making sounds on Shabbat.
Nope, you can make sounds on Shabbat. There's a certain takana, gezerah the rabbis made when it comes to certain musical instruments, which has ways of being fixed, and maybe come to fix that musical instrument. But over here, it's a mitzvah, and there's not too much fixing you can do with it. Yes. Rosh Hashanah is still full on Shabbat. Rosh Hashanah is also a happy day. Not the best. It's a certain awe that goes with it, being judged. But you dress up well, you have nice food. Right? So we don't push Rosh Hashanah off. So why don't we just sound the shofar? Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, yes, Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be happy because you're like kind of starting over again. But at the same time, it's like. There's the guilt associated with it too, where you're like, yeah, I like did a lot of things last year.
It's not a Rosh Hashanah. You don't make tshuva on Rosh Hashanah.
But you still
about that regardless.
It's not. There's no tshuva Hashanah.
I feel like also
there's tshuva before. There's tshuva between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's preparation for it. But by the way, all being very, very spiritual, it's a very clear halachic reason. No. Why? You can't carry it.
That's
it. That is it.
But you're allowed to carry now. There's eruvs everywhere.
I hear. Let's have a look inside the Gemara. The Gemara is going to tell us the reason. It's wild. It's really wild. By the way, you're absolutely right. It's a wild halacha. Are we accepting? Yeah, we just don't do it because the reason is given very clearly. Let's have a look inside. Don't shoot the messenger. No, seriously, don't shoot the messenger. I'm being serious. Don't shoot me. Mechashesh, because you're worried. Shema Adam, maybe a person. Yikach shofar, will take the shofar. V'yevien la'adam habaki, maybe they don't know how to blow sound the shofar. So they're going to say, you know, I need someone to teach me how to sound it. They'll take it to some guy who is another community, another house, who's a baki, who's good at binyan shofar. When it comes to sounding the shofar, because it's not easy to do, you need people to train you and teach you. Maybe he's going to grab it, take it, kadesh lamadinu et ha drush lo, and they'll teach him how to use it. Over derech yavar, and by doing so, he's going to do carrying et ha shofar arba amot, four amot. Burushut harabim, in the public domain. And that comes from the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, and that is the halacha. We do not sound the shofar. I mean, I can't disagree with you. It's a very unusual halacha. Why? Give me a, don't just give me the emotion, give me like a rational thought of why that would be so unusual. So, number one,
like
it's Shabbat. It's Shabbat as well. So it's Shabbat. So number one, maybe I don't live in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Number two, maybe I'm in a Carmelite and I have an Eruv. Number three, so I won't carry it.
Leave it there.
I won't carry it. I'll leave it there. I'll put a sign on it saying, hey, don't forget, it's Shabbat. I'm not going to forget Shabbat. Number four, one second. The mitzvah to sound the shofar, is that a doraita or is that a derabanan?
Doraita.
Doraita, it's a Torah mitzvah. Absolutely a Torah mitzvah. Now we're saying there is a possibility you may, perhaps, it's not definite, one person in some community somewhere is going to forget that it's Shabbat and is going to carry that shofar. And by the way, he lives in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and there's no Erev, right? And there's an Adabai, he doesn't upload the shofar. I mean, we've just found this really unusual, limited case, someone, somewhere, somehow, that this could happen, and we're being docha, we're pushing a Torah command. It's really wild. And you could say, well, there's a second day, but there's also a first day. Or there's also a second day. How could the rabbis did this? Chazal metakein, this is a rabbinic geder, prohibition, a gezerah. We don't sound it, because maybe there's one guy in some community, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that when Rosh Hashanah Shabbat, needs to have training in shofar, and he's going to carry it. Trust me, it's very unusual. Very unusual. You get to push off a Torah mitzvah, like sounding the shofar, on a possibility within a possibility within a possibility, yet that's the halacha, and the entire Jewish world has been mekabel, accepted, this one single reason. So let's learn out, let's move away from Rosh Hashanah and say, well, maybe it's not telling about Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is really important. Maybe it's teaching me something about Shabbat. Sefer Rav Moshe Schwab, Mao Tama Takana. What is the reason of the Takana? Shema Veru Daladam Abrashit Arabim. Kashid Barim Chashash. When you think about this Chashash, this warning, this possibility, Zeb Sechel Apasha Shalano, Lonam Sama Komleva, tell Mikol Yisrael Lamashacha Tufa Rucha Mitzvah Shafa. Why? You're taking away this mitzvah? Sherei Kedei Lagia Le'ef Sherut on the possibility, Shal Chashash, on the possibility, Zeh Alein L'Chashus Tchila. So first of all, how do we get to this point? Right? First of all, Shem Yishkach Adam Shafor Babeto. He forgot a shofar at home. Right? That's number one. So there's one guy, and for this possibility to actually happen, he forgets the shofar at home. That's one possibility. V'gam azadayin en, v'tchav mizechel Shabbat. Right? And even that's not promachil Shabbos. Why? Ki arev shel shmor gam beito. Who says you have to, where can you sound the shofar? Wherever you want. So if you found the shofar at home, you don't have to carry it somewhere else. That he's embarrassed or something. Whoa, got to sound the shofar in shul. So sound it at home. So even if it's difficult at home, it's such a big deal. You can sound, right? Bring people to your house to hear it. Right? Many people. I mean, my home, my wife doesn't make it to shul. So we have a shofar. Some guy will take the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to the house. But we have an extra concern. Now the real thing we're worried about is that no Eruv, forget a Shabbat, this one guy, somewhere in Jewish history, is going to carry it and be over one of the 39 malachot of carrying something, Dalad Amot, four Amot, in a public domain. Kevan Shatorah. The Torah comes not just to give us laws, it does that, but it also comes to be mechanech otanu, to teach us something. We're going to have to learn something from this takana. The rabbis were sending us a message by doing this. It wasn't just for this one guy. It's teaching us a very important message through this gezerah, through this takana, through this rabbinic enactment, this geder. In kein kashanu mutziim, that even the possibility of one person, remote, one in a thousand, one in a million, over thousands of years of Jewish history, that one person keeps Bechal Shabbat, possibly, Kiyah Shofar is nothing. We get rid of it. It's gone. We remove a Torah mitzvah on the possibility that one person could possibly carry in a public domain of Shabbat. We know what we've done over here? The rabbis have completely separated. Here's the Torah mitzvah, and they put Shabbat on a possibility of one guy through history in the stratosphere. It's like another galaxy. We've completely separated the two into two completely different worlds. Chayavim anus, so what do we have to do? Shubilevad mikolin naharehu mitzvah asim in a Torah. Even though it's a Torah mitzvah to sound the shofar or shoshana. But they've got rid of it. It's very unusual. It's wild. Chayvim anu, what do we have to do? Litbonen v'lemod et inyan shatakana melamdeinu otanu. What is this teaching us? Page 66 through the punchline. We'll take questions. Come on. So first of all, we see the chashivut of Shabbat, which is our topic today. But we're going to learn something else. Here's the extra reason in the bold print, and we'll finish with this. Two more minutes. Kamo, shekabalat ol malchut shemayim ba'al yedei shofar. Why do we sound the shofar? To accept upon ourselves the God as king. We're crowning God as our king. Bring upon ourselves the yoke of God's royalty, right? You blow trumpets for a king. We blow the shofar for Hashem. Rashi, you know, hacharaz al malchuto bi'olam. Kach hi ba'al yedei hamida shel zehirut. You actually don't even need the shofar on Shabbat because the job is done by keeping Shabbat. That itself is the Zahira, he says. By being Shomer Shabbat, you don't even need the shofar. So an additional reason. One is a technical halachic one, which is true. And the other is, don't worry, you don't need it because you keep Shabbat. It's as though you heard the shofar. It gets the job done. You don't even need the shofar there to say, I accept Hashem upon myself. It's my connection. It's my old Malchut Shemayim. Shabbat does exactly the same thing.
That makes more sense.
That's what he says.
Is it still the Chafetz Chaim?
No.
Like Moshe
Shua? Yeah. And that is the power of Zahirut. That we learn from the shofar and Shabbat. We will stop over there. Good class.